We are going to attempt, and I laughed when I said this in my head, to wrap up the gifts, the gifts of the Spirit tonight. And I'm excited about it. These are, discerning of spirits is the one that we have gotten to. If you're joining us tonight and you haven't been here for the last couple of months, we've been studying the gifts of the Holy Spirit and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're not going to go back through because it just takes too long to review, but you can always go online and listen to it if it's of interest to you. If it's not of interest to you, you need, if you don't feel like, I'm never going to do that, gather the information and start desiring the gifts, whether they flow through you or whether they flow through somebody else. But acknowledge the fact that we need the gifts of the Spirit functioning, not just in our church, but we need to be available for them to function in our lives, because God wants to speak to people out there, and He's going to do it through the believer. So you can go back and read, but we have gotten down to the gifts of discerning of spirits. So let me get over in 1 Corinthians real quick. Your Bible ought to fall open there. So that is verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 12. So to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits, you know, people get really wacky with some of this stuff. With any of the gifts, I hate to say super spiritual, I'm going to say super flaky. Because we all want to be super spiritual, we just want to be super flaky. Discerning of spirits is kind of one of those things that people can go rogue on. But it's when God, the Holy Spirit, remember, this is a supernatural gift. It's not something that you own. It's not your gift. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. When He needs you to see into the spirit world, into the spirit realm, and discern some things. I mean, that's what the whole term means, right? This isn't going to happen every day. You're not going to see things every day. You may not ever flow in this gift. But when God needs you to, or wants you to, it's going to be, when we say discerning of spirits, you need to know the origin of a spirit if you're dealing with some things. You need to know if this is evil, if this is godly, if this is true, if this is deception. And so when He allows you to see and to discern, then that is the gift of discerning of spirits. I love 2 Kings. I love 1 and 2 Kings. There's just these great accounts in there. But in 2 Kings, most of you may be familiar with this one, in chapter 6. You can go ahead and turn there. Let's look at an example in the Old Testament, and then we'll look at one in the New Testament. Missing Project Hope tonight. If Project Hope was here tonight, we would not have any. The pizza would be gone, and the coffee would be gone, and the seats would be gone. I miss them tonight. I'll have to send them a message that we missed them being with us tonight. 2 Kings chapter 6, I'm going to start in verse 15. You can go ahead, go back, read the whole account, because it's a great account. You'll love it. But in verse 15, it says, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Master, how shall we do?" In other words, we're in trouble, we're outnumbered, we're surrounded. "And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha," which was the prophet, "prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." So God allowed him to see what God can see. Because when you can see what God can see, your perception changes. And I think what we have to remember, although this gift is beautiful and powerful, is that even that when we don't see it, it's out there. I mean, the spirit realm is more real than the physical realm. The spirit realm was first. And so, you know, it's nice to see it. I love that he could see it. But we have to make sure that even when this gift is not in operation, which is as the Holy Spirit wills, remember, only happens as the Holy Spirit wills, that the spirit realm is out there. And this is a moment that the Holy Spirit allows us to see into the realm that we don't normally see, which is supernatural. And then in Acts 27, I love to bring out that this can be good spirits, because a lot of people, when they talk about discerning of spirits, all they want to talk about is demons. And the demonic world is real, right? I mean, the scripture tells us that we don't fight against flesh and blood. And it gives us this order of evil that exists. But I love the fact that God just, he doesn't focus on evil. If you need to see into the spirit realm and you need to see that somebody is dealing with a demon, that's for deliverance. That's so you can, either you can be saved or they can be saved. But also we can see angels and things that are happening in the spirit world. Acts 27 verse 23 says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And the angel was saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with you." You remember, this is when they were on the ship and shipwreck was about to happen. So he was allowed to see the angel, he was allowed to have a message, and that's not normal. That doesn't happen just in the natural. That's a God moment. And, you know, I've heard stories all my life, you know, from Kenneth Hagin and different ones, especially on mission fields. And it's good to have Barb back from the mission field. She's been gone, and they had a great time and saw wondrous things, even electricity coming back on when they needed it to, which doesn't happen where she was, and different things like that, people being healed. And how many saved that one? 31 received Christ the one night that they had, I think, high school age-ish campers there. So praise God for that. But a lot of times in the mission field, ministers, believers will need to see into the spirit realm. They need to know what they're dealing with. And God can give you that moment. It can happen when you're at Walmart if it needs to. I remember Paul had a woman that was saying all the right things, following them around, saying these are the servants of the Most High God, just advertising for them. But he discerned that was not the truth. And so when we need to discern where the origin of a spirit, there is a gift for that. And it is as the Spirit wills. We did talk, I think Monday, about us wrapping the gifts up, and so we're probably not going to do comments in between tonight. We'll see where we're at the end, but we're probably not going to do comments in between tonight. All right, I started to say it. Anybody got questions about discerning of spirits? If you do, write them down. If we don't get to questions tonight, you can email us, and we'll try to help you find scripture. I would say discerning of spirits is not something that I've seen a lot of. I've heard of it. But a lot of times this is not in a setting where it's shared, you know, shared with the congregation. Hey, I'm seeing a demon over here. You know, it's more kind of a one-on-one thing. And so you might not have experienced this or had as much revelation about this where you getting to see it function. But it's there because the Holy Spirit can do it. All right, diverse kinds of tongues. I'm going to kind of try to separate diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. But when it comes to ministering to other people and the Holy Spirit's giving you this gift, he's giving you a message in tongues, and somebody's going to interpret it. These two go together. You can pray in the Spirit in your prayer language at home, and sometime we'll talk about all the benefits of that, of it building you up, of you speaking mysteries, and all the things that the Scripture tells us about you praying in the Spirit. But this right here is a gift for someone else. You speaking a tongue, a message in tongues, and that being a gift for someone else. You understand the difference between the personal praying in the Spirit? This is a gift. God gives you a message. We see this here in the church. Ken Lankford has always been used in this gift, and my mom, Brad and Cindy. So if you've got questions there on different people that have operated in it here at the church, you know, feel free to ask them if you've got questions about it. They'll be glad to give you what they've learned. But these two will operate together, and we'll talk about why here in just a minute. I think the divers kinds of tongues, sometimes people are like, it's different, diverse kinds of tongues. Now, I think that if we go to 1 Corinthians 13, which John's already covered 1 Corinthians 13, but I want to go to verse 1 because I think it brings out something interesting about divers kinds of tongues. I don't know about y'all, but it's kind of hard for me to get over that, just the tongues part. Do y'all see tongues when you say it? It's language, okay? Language. In fact, I think, if I remember right, the Greek word is like glossa, like looks like glossary. So it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Well, let's just stop right there. Right there, we've got diverse kinds of tongues right there. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. On the day of Pentecost, turn over to Acts 2. On the day of Pentecost, they spoke, when they received the Holy Spirit, they began to speak with tongues, and they spoke with the tongues of men. Not a natural language to themselves. It's this interesting passage right here. I'm not talking about the gift of tongues right here. I'm talking about them speaking in diverse kinds of tongues. Acts 2, just jump in on verse 4. It says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, this is in the upper room, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, and they said to one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? They were speaking languages of men, but these were not languages that they naturally spoke or that they had learned. Now, when that happens, you don't have to have interpretation of tongues, because they're speaking supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. This is a gift to the people that were outside, and they're hearing it in the language that they speak. If you'll read verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, There's so many different backgrounds there, and these, I assume, these are the ones that heard in their own language. That's diverse kinds of tongues, and this was a gift. This was a supernatural gift to them that they were able to understand. They were able to speak, and the ones outside could understand. You can't make that up. You can't generate that yourself. That's a gift from the Holy Spirit. And he said, in verse 11, he says, we do hear them speak in our tongues and the wonderful works of God. So the message that the the people in the upper room were speaking was about the wonderful works of God. And so they were, if you will, testifying of God, speaking of God. And the unbelievers who were on the outside heard it in their language. That's a good day. I believe that can happen on the mission field if you need it to. I believe it could happen in Russellville, Arkansas if you need it to. We didn't think about other languages. Now we hear other languages in our community. And if God needed to speak, and I believe in the last days we're going to see more and more signs and wonders are going to be needed as God makes his last push, if you will, to get all he can into the kingdom. I believe the signs and wonders will include, obviously, the gifts of the Spirit, and this is one of them. So they spoke in the language of the people hearing them by a supernatural gift. And you know what the result was? 3,000 plus became believers. That's what God was doing. That's what the Holy Spirit was doing. He wasn't just showing out. He was showing up. And he was drawing people through the supernatural. He was glorified because of it. Now, when you're speaking in the tongues of angels or any other tongues, then an interpretation is necessary in order for it to be a gift to the hearer. Now, in a minute, we'll read from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which we'll spend a little bit of time there tonight, because it tells us that. I mean, it makes it plain to us that if you're going to be used in the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of divers kinds of tongues, then you need to make sure there's someone there that can interpret the tongue that you give. Why? Because God is not a God of chaos. He's not there to cause questions. He's there to give answers. And an interpretation, I think Travis said it the other night, tongues and interpretation of tongues together, a lot of people, and I see this as true, as from what I've seen it, equals prophecy. Well, then why use tongues and interpretation of tongues? Let me tell you what the scripture says. It's a sign to the unbeliever. We'll see that in 1 Corinthians 14. So interpretation of tongues is interpretation, not translation. This is important. I can hear my dad saying that many, many times in my head. It's interpretation, not translation. It's communicating the message. So this is why, who's somebody that's really wordy? I don't want to look at anybody. Okay, y'all raise your hand if you're really wordy. Okay, if Kathy, oh, Kelly Jo, great. Thank you, Larry, for raising her hand. If Kelly gives a message in tongues, in her supernatural language, and she stands up here and she speaks a word, a message in tongues, and it's 5 minutes long, and who's short-worded? Tom Wilkins. If Tom, like half the congregation was pointing at you, if Tom is going to give the interpretation, it's not going to be a translation word for word and take 5 minutes. It's going to be how he would say. He's going to give the message, not word for word, but the message. So he might say what took Kelly Jo, I'm sorry I call her by her middle name, it's just a friendship thing, 5 minutes, Tom Wilkins might can say in 60 seconds. So she spoke it in tongues, he gives it in English, and he's done. Because he can say it in one sentence, what would take me an hour up here to say. He's probably already done. If he was up here preaching, he'd probably already be done. So that's important, because people will question, well, that message in tongues was long, but then the interpretation was short. They're just giving you the message. There's a difference in interpretation and translation. You remember what prophecy was? What prophecy does? Edifies, exhorts, and comforts. And so every time that I've seen it, a message in tongues with interpretation of tongues has done that. Edified, exhorted, and comforted. So I tend to agree with Brother Hagin on that, and it would take a lot for me to disagree with him. I'd have to find something in the scripture. All right. We're going to find more definition in 1 Corinthians 14. Okay, I know that seemed quick, but 1 Corinthians 14 will help us define some things. Okay, the difference, for instance, between us praying in tongues just at home in our prayer time, which the scripture says we can do to edify ourselves, build ourselves up. It says that we can pray mysteries. I love Brother Hagin used to say, I'm trying to get it right, praying mysteries brings revelation. Like you pray in tongues, and then one day you're just like, oh, this is my answer. Well, yeah, you prayed the mystery when you were praying in tongues. So you can think on that. I can tell your heads are spinning. All right. We ate pizza, but we're awake. We're going to start serving energy drinks on pizza nights. There we go. That got y'all happy. All right. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Follow after charity, love, agape love. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, or spiritual. Gifts is an added word, but it also comes from verse 12, so it makes sense that they put it there. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. I just want to stop with follow after love. I think John brought this out on the week that he taught on it from chapter 13. Love's got to be the springboard of what we do. The gifts are not going to flow out of you if you don't love. They are for love. They are for the person. If you're doing it for you, you're generating something yourself, and it's not truly a gift of the Holy Spirit. So follow after love. Don't follow after the gifts. I've seen some things. There's a lot of people that follow after the gifts. We're following after the love of God and desire spiritual gifts. And I love that second phrase, because even if you don't understand what we're talking about tonight, start talking to God and say, look, your word says for me to desire spiritual gifts. Teach me, because what you want me to desire, I'm going to desire. And don't just shut it down and say, I can never be used in that, or that's never going to happen to me. We are instructed to desire. Be zealous about the spiritual and spiritual gifts. He says, but rather that you may prophesy. We just talked about what prophecy meant. Okay, you ready for this? He's going to start breaking things down. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. Y'all remember what Dad would do right here? He would say, put a P out beside it if that's in your personal. Put a C beside it if it's in the church. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're not speaking unto men, but to God. No man understands what you're saying. Howbeit, in the Spirit, you're speaking mysteries, divine secrets, hidden things. And if you don't pray in the Spirit, you need to study it. And I should say study Him. And learn that it's just the language. You don't have to be a Fruit Loop to speak in tongues. You don't have to be weird. Peculiar, maybe, but that's scriptural, right? But you don't have to be a weirdo. Almost every powerful ministry that I've ever known were spirit-filled, tongue-talking ministries. And even some of them that you didn't think were, and they were closet tongue-talkers. But their denominations didn't allow it, and so they didn't do it openly. Didn't talk about it openly, but there's power in it. And he says that you are speaking mysteries, hidden things, divine secrets. And that's where Hagin said mysteries prayed out bring revelation. And then just one day you'll just know something. Well, you prayed it out and you're just getting revelation of it. So that's in your personal. Verse 4 says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. So if you're just praying in tongues, you're edifying yourself. That's personal. But he who prophesies edifies someone else. Why? Because they can understand it. He even talks about, hey, when you're praying, you'll get to it. When you're in the restaurant and you're praying over your food and you're with somebody, don't pray over your food in tongues when a person's sitting across from you. They're not going to have any faith in what you, they're not going to know what you prayed. There's no need for that. You know, do it where it'll edify the other people in the room. Where are we at? Verse 5. I would that you all spake with tongues. Who is this talking? Paul. I would that you all, he wants everybody to be filled with Spirit. He wants everybody to have this relationship with Holy Spirit, this power in their lives. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. He's not saying one is above the other, but one is for other people, and the other one can be just for you unless it's interpreted. And so if it's not interpreted, and look, if you give a message in tongues and nobody stands up and interprets it, don't quit church. I can't tell you how many times a need's called out by a word of knowledge and nobody comes up, or somebody gives a message in tongues and nobody interprets, and then somebody comes to you after church and said, I'm so sorry, I had that and I didn't give it. Or I'm so sorry, I'm the one that was called out with that heart issue and I didn't want to come up front. Learn to listen to your spirit. If your spirit says to do it, and it's in order, as we'll find, there's order in chapter 14 that's laid out. Give it. If nobody comes up, nobody interprets, don't let the devil run you over. If you do something that we feel is out of order, we're learning together. We'll talk about it. Not out front, in front of everybody. We'll talk about it. And so don't get under the fear of that. But understand that if there's no one there to interpret, then prophesying is what you need to do, that the church may receive edifying. That's his goal. Verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or disclosure or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine or by teaching? In other words, if I speak in tongues, you're not going to get anything out of it if it's just me speaking in tongues. And even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? You know, when they sounded something, they sounded a trumpet or something, it meant something. It was a call for something, and they all understood what it meant. But if you just get up here and talk in tongues and nobody can understand, they don't know. For if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? So likewise you, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. Well, may you do you good, Lori. It may edify you, but it's not edifying Rachel. So he's just bringing this into order, helping them understand. Can you imagine in the early church when the Holy Spirit came and filled them in the upper room and no one had ever been taught? No one had ever heard. Paul spends, I'm going to say, most of his career, you know, writing to these churches and bringing order and bringing understanding, because these people, they have been in an upper room. Hundreds of them are now if not thousands of them, are now filled with the Holy Spirit, and they didn't grow up in grandma's church seeing. They didn't have parents to tell them. This was a new experience, and they are pumped about it. And so a lot of the teachings that Paul does is bringing order to absolute chaos that's happening in the churches, including when he covers women in the church. And let me see who I want to pick out. We'll let John teach on that. I always say I really do seriously prefer for a man to teach on women being silent in the church, just because some people that won't listen to a woman teach about women teaching in the church, they kind of shut you out. So there are some good teachings out there on it, and seriously, we will cover that. We've covered it before. We'll cover it at some point, but it's actually in this chapter, so that's why I brought it up. We probably won't get there tonight. All right, where did we get to? Piped and harped, right? So likewise, you, verse 9, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. You ever heard somebody say, that's Greek to me? Well, don't say that to Travis, because he'll get it. But most of us don't know Greek. I mean, like, I can't just start talking in a different language. Y'all don't even want me to try Spanish. I just could mutilate it. So if I'm speaking English and you speak Spanish, we're not getting it. So he's just saying, don't go around talking in tongues all the time to people. They don't know what you're saying, and you're like a foreigner to them. Verse 12 says, even so you, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. And I love that phrase. What are you supposed to seek? You are supposed to seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Not that the gifts would bring attention to yourself, but that you are to seek to excel to the edifying of the church. Can I get off on a little bit of a soapbox right here? Thank you, Sharon. I always depend on Sharon to pop in. I've said it before. I'll probably say it for the rest of my life. Don't get on social media and badmouth the church. Right. That is so stupid. Come to church with me next Sunday. And then I read your post. Not yours. And you're talking bad about the church. I'll say it again. When Jesus wanted the church corrected, he did it. He did it through John. But Jesus was in heaven and had letters written to the churches. He didn't send somebody that spoke against the church to go and correct the church. And so when we publicly come out against the church, if you've got a problem with our church or the church that you attend, then you go to them, and the scripture gives us instruction, you go to them and we talk about it. But to give bad advertisement to the one thing that can help people, it's hard on me. And in the next breath, they'll be posting their service times. So be careful when you do that, because we're supposed to excel to the edifying of the church. And I realize the church isn't just a building, but church is a part of our life as Christians. It's where I go to It holds me accountable. Y'all hold me accountable. Y'all, the church corrects me. It teaches me. And I can't even imagine where I would be in my life without the church. And I don't just mean RCC, although I think having a church family, many of us have learned, is life-saving. There's just times in our life that when I see one of y'all's faces, you may not even know that something's going on with me, but when I feel the body of Christ present in my life, it's just, I don't know, it's so encouraging, it's so strengthening. And so we want to excel to the edifying of the church. I guess I spent a lot of time there, didn't mean to. Verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So if you're speaking tongues in front of somebody else, you need to pray that you interpret, or that someone is there to interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, when I pray in tongues, most of the time, I don't even know what I've prayed. Sometimes it'll come to you what you're praying, or an answer will come and you'll go, oh, it must have been what I was praying about. Or you're praying for somebody and you get the call and you're like, oh, now I know who I was praying for. But overall, I'm not speaking words that I know naturally. So when I pray in an unknown tongue, keyword unknown, tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. I'll sing with the spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding also. There's times, and I almost always do both if I'm praying for somebody. But you know, sometimes there's things going on with people, and you don't know what it is. You just get an unction from the Holy Spirit that you need to pray, and you can pray in the spirit, and he prays the perfect will of God, right? But you may not understand it with your mind. But then a lot of times I'll speak scripture over them. I'll pray in the understanding also, with what I understand also. Because there's scriptures we can pray, and there's no way we can go wrong with that. He said, else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what you say? So if you're in the church or in a place with other people and you pray in the spirit, he said, how will that bless the one that occupies the room, and you say amen at the end of giving thanks, seeing he doesn't understand what you said? He can't say amen to it. He can't get in agreement with it. It can't be the blessing to him. So you need to use words that they understand. He said, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other's not edified. What's all this about? Edifying the other. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. You got to remember who he's talking to. People that are zealous about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says, look, I speak in tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. I just pretty much summed up everything we've read. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophecy serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So if there's unbelievers in the house, unbelievers in the crowd, A lot of times he'll use tongues and interpretation of tongues because it is a sign to the unbeliever. But a lot of times if it's all believers in the house, it'll be prophecy because they don't need the sign. And only Holy Spirit knows that. So a lot of times I like it if Brad or Ken or somebody or mom stands up and speaks in tongues, you know what I'm thinking? There's an unbeliever in the house. There's somebody that doesn't believe in the house. So just think about that. And I remember as a child, my mama was a wild one, wasn't she, Alicia? You probably remember. My mom was the praise and worship leader, and she's real outgoing, you know, and I was real shy and real quiet back then. And, man, my mama was, she was apt to speak in tongues. And I'd bring a friend to church with me, and I'm thinking, oh, please don't let my mother speak in tongues. Don't, my good Baptist friend sitting beside me, please don't let my mother speak in tongues. You know, and I had heard the message, I'm sure, that is a sign to the unbeliever. So don't freak out if you brought somebody to church and somebody stands up and gives a message of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Just think to yourself, God sees this unbeliever with me and he has given them a sign. And, you know, wipe the sweat that you just broke out into when somebody stood up with your Baptist friend sitting next to you. So God sees people. And he is, these gifts are for people. Verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? Yeah, they're going to say this is a crazy church. But he's talking about something that's out of order here as far as, you know, everybody's in here speaking in tongues. He's like, no, they're going to say that you're mad. But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. So it sounds like, and a lot of people think that's a contradiction right there. It's not. He's saying if you all come in speaking in tongues, instead of exhorting, edifying, and comforting, then they're going to think you're mad. But if somebody stands up and gives a message in tongues, an interpretation of tongues, that equals prophecy. But not everybody can stand up and do it. And, you know, in the early days of the charismatic movement, and I'm sure in the early church, what was happening is everybody wanted to do it. They were zealous. And Paul has to bring wisdom into it so that it is edifying the other people and not causing confusion. And that's what he goes into in verse 26. We'll go a little ways. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine or a teaching, hath a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. He's like, how is it that when y'all get together, every one of you has to do something? He's, let all things be done unto edifying. Think about the people in the room. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course. In other words, we don't need three people standing up speaking in tongues at one time. Let it be by course. And let one interpret. He's just setting order in the church here so that it'll be edifying. He says, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's God. And he's not going to take over your tongue. And you're not going to stand up. You don't have to give it. You don't have to stand up and speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit is not going to take over. You're gonna have to learn to listen to your spirit and know if this is something for you to speak and God to speak to you, or if this is something that you're supposed to give to the congregation. And sometimes that takes some practice, some living it. And we want to be grace-filled as people are learning about the gifts. If there's no interpreter, how do I know if there's an interpreter? If you're in a body long enough, you'll learn. You'll learn who knows how to be used in the gifts, who flows in the gifts a lot. Not that God has to use them, but you'll learn. And it says, let him, if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. You may feel like you have something, but if some other people have got up and said it, just because you might would say it a little bit different doesn't mean you need to get up and say it. This happens a lot when Cindy comes up beside me during worship, or if she's feeling something in the spirit. There's some times that I think, oh, yes, because, you know, I'm thinking this has happened in the congregation, and Cindy will get up and give it. I love that we have people in our congregation that are used in the gifts and not just me, John, and Dylan, and Mark, or whoever. This is beautiful. This is the beautiful body of Christ. And he sets this in order. He says, let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that's sitting by, let the first hold his peace, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. We don't have to have five people get up. If you were feeling something and you were getting something and somebody else gets up and gives it, you have a choice not to give it. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author. That's what Paul's teaching here. Let's get the confusion out. Let's get the chaos out. Appreciate the zeal. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all, but that doesn't mean that we're all going to come in here and the moment we walk in the door to the moment we leave, everybody's speaking in tongues. Because that's not going to edify the church. And this whole passage is about excelling in our zeal for edifying the church. Let your women keep silent in the church. We'll talk about that another day. I get tickled because, I just get tickled at some of the things that some people come up with on the women. They'll let them teach Sunday school, or they'll let them lead the singing, or they'll let them be missionaries to foreign countries. But, you know, they want them to be silent in the church. There is an order in the church, and we want to be obedient to that order so there's no confusion. And if my husband did not want me to teach, I would not. If the board did not want me to pastor, I would not. I tried to talk them out of it yesterday or Monday, and Tom Wilkins gave me a no. So, you know, if I'm going to be obedient to the heads of the church, I got to be obedient. But I'm kind of messing with you a little bit there, but it was fairly true. Some days more true than others. So, we'll talk about that. That'll be a whole nother teaching, a whole nother day. And we'll bring some people in that are outside of me and, that don't have to work with me every day to teach on that. I just feel like that's the best thing for us to do in that. All right, we'll end with, let's skip down to verse 39. I think it's important. Well, 38 might be important. Oh, they're all important. Where are we going to stop at? Verse 37, If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak in tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. And that's just a good word. Thank you, Paul. I've never been in a chaotic church, but I've heard stories. And I think I'm thankful that our leadership has always taught us this passage so that it's done decently and in order. Well, y'all look like you're in a pizza coma. I do have a couple of things to say. Happy birthday to Miss Betty. Yes, you can clap for her. She doesn't mind the applause. Miss Betty is 92. A very, very spry, bowling. She loves to bowl. She loves to watch sports. Debbie crocheted her a little razorback hog that she can throw at the TV when they're not playing good. Or she can hug it when they are. And she likes hot tea and cookies. So all donations, coffee and cookies. So all donations can go to Miss Betty for the coffee cookie fund. And also today is Tanya's birthday. And I know. What? It's your birthday too? And Greta. Wow. We need to go back 9 months. It must have been a really, really good day. Because look at all the wonderful people that were born on this day. Anybody else birthday today? Man, I have to mark this day in my calendar. Put all y'all's names in there. That's a good day. Birthday blessings to y'all. And Eddie is back in the hospital in Little Rock, but he is doing better. And so if you've been praying for Eddie through his journey, he got his neck brace off today. I don't know if the intercessors even know that yet or not. The neck brace finally got to come off today, and we're hoping for him to be. Yes, that's what we're still standing, that the blood pressure is coming back to normal and regulate normally, and then we're going to get him out of ICU in a regular room where Greta can go down and aggravate him more. So Eddie's our guy. All right, I know your minds aren't clear, but it's a lot to think on. Be zealous. Desire the gifts. But be obedient to the word in order. Amen. So we're thankful for the Holy Spirit, Father. We're thankful. We're thankful for the gifts. We're thankful that you see people, and that as the good Father that you are, you want to speak to them. You want to minister to them. You want to bring to them what you provided for them, and you want to do it in a way, Father, that doesn't just reach them but brings you glory, so that more they're brought into the kingdom of God. And Father, I know that these people, I'm just asking, Holy Spirit, that you reveal it to the hearts of the people that they can be used. It's at your will. We know that it's at your will, but Father, every person here can be used. If they're filled with your Holy Spirit, they can be used. They can be ready and willing to be used. Father, I know that takes faith on the part of the one that's being used, but we want to get to the place that we're open to it and that we're available to you. And Father, if there's any place that we're out of order, we want to be corrected by your word. We want to be corrected by that nudge in our spirit, that we'll not step out on anything that's to bring us attention, but we will keep our zeal towards you. And Father, just love, follow after love, loving your people, letting you love your people through us. Father, what a blessing that you would allow us to be a part of it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.